Welcome to Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Balo hosts Sarah Maine on her ongoing journey of conscious confidence and gain timeless wisdom to unleash unparalleled confidence. A conscious confidence. Learn to ignite the living spark of wisdom, a new narrative for fulfillment contained in Sanskrit and the ancient, powerful, engaging, and fun conscious conversations to discover your own magnificent true self. Learn to dispel the fear shadow as Sarah provides essential knowledge about embracing change and the power of transformation. Get ready. Conscious Confidence starts now.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Conscious Confidence Radio. I'm Sarah Maine, creator and host of Conscious Confidence, a timeless wisdom. And today, let's get straight into it. Today, I have a very special guest. I know I say this whenever I have a guest, but I'm really excited with my special guest today, Dr. Jennifer Taylor. So welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Sarah. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
And I don't want to give too much away about Jen. I'd like her to tell us about Jen. But Jen is, I think it would be fair to say, a scientist. That would be right. Jen is a scientist, but she's making some really, really interesting connections with mindfulness and yoga. I don't want to say too much more because I'm sure I'll mess it up and Jen can do a much better job than me. But welcome to Jen. And Jen, tell us about you. What's a 101 about you and your background?
Sure. Well, I am a neuroscientist, so I come out of the Brain and Mind Centre at the University of Sydney, and I've just completed my PhD in medicine at the University of Sydney as well. But as you mentioned, I am a long-time yoga and meditation practitioner. So what I was really interested in doing was trying to marry some of our beautiful new neuroscience and the outcomes that we're seeing in terms of what we know in terms of a lived experience of yoga and meditation, the benefits particularly for mental health, for stress management. And I was also interested in burnout and traumatic stress as well. So that sort of led me down the path to my PhD topic.
Wow. It's amazing. I mean, I find it just so scintillating to hear you talk about this. So how did you get it? Just let's roll back a little bit. How did you get into yoga? what led you to that?
Sure, absolutely. So the yoga story is quite a long one. So my mother actually took me to my first yoga class as a teenager. I was living in Alice Springs in Australia, which is right in the dead heart of the country, as many may or may not know. That was something that was really quite empowering for me throughout my teenage years. Now, there was a bit of a lapse in my 20s in terms of regular practice, but certainly late 20s, I picked up the practice in a more assiduous way, and it directly helped me with my own sense of stress management, but also particularly anxiety, which I experienced throughout my life. At the time, I didn't name it in that way, but certainly found myself, responding and with stress responses to various sort of life events. And yoga and meditation were a way for me to self-soothe. They were a way for me to manage some of those kinds of stressful events and life. At the time, I was working in a quite corporate environment. So I was working in technology, but that was always an anchor for me, my personal practice. Moving forward, I went down the teaching path for yoga and mindfulness, and then I was very, very interested in trying to hook into modern healthcare and modern neuroscience and see how we might start to change some of these models of care and introduce some of these Eastern principles into Western healthcare.
Wow, that's quite a journey. And really fantastic and wonderful that you're linking up these two and bringing the sort of what we call relevance. You know, I have a sort of slightly mixed relationship with that word relevance, but but bringing it into everyday experience and teaching it to people, this is significant and certainly where everything's heading, I hope. So now tell us about this. Let's get into your research that you've set up. So you've just finished your PhD. So you're Dr. Jennifer Taylor. So congratulations on that. That is a huge achievement.
Thank you.
So celebrate that for a moment. And you set up a sort of systematic review, didn't you, of application of mindfulness and stress management through yoga and exercise for medical practitioners. So just sort of lead us into how you got to this research.
That's right, Sarah. So as a whole, my PhD topic is about yoga and mindfulness for burnout and traumatic stress. And my particular sample was junior doctors, which has actually only become a more relevant sample in this current climate. But in order to sort of start to look at a trial of that kind of nature, I needed to do some research into whether mindfulness was an appropriate intervention for traumatic stress in particular, as I was looking at it at the time. And also yoga as a subset of the broader mindfulness domain. Mm. Was that appropriate? Was that relevant? Did it work? So I set up the, as you mentioned, the systematic review, but we also did something a little bit more technical called a meta-analysis, where we're really starting to try and measure outcomes. And we look at doing that with a broad selection of studies. Now, I started with more than 12,000 studies, literally with my research partner looking through in enormous searches of studies that were taken across the world. But we then vetted those down in a very systematic and scientific method, down to 24 or 66 in a broader kind of qualitative review, but then 24 studies that were actually analysed statistically. And we were looking at the impact of these kinds of interventions, mindfulness and yoga, as we could identify them or distinguish them, on the outcomes of psychological trauma. Now, I phrase it deliberately with that term, you know, outcomes or sequelae of psychological trauma. So we were trying to take something called a transdiagnostic approach. What does that mean? It means that the current research method and the current scientific medical model actually focal medical model, if you like, actually focuses on diagnosis as the key. So particularly in the realm of mental health, you know, we rely on the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders, and we look at naming things as particular disorders. So we were more interested in broadening that, taking a transdiagnostic approach, particularly because there's some good research to demonstrate that the effects and impact of peak stress or traumatic events has a number of sequelae. So it has a number. It could be depression, it could be anxiety, it could be other kinds of symptoms of stress, or it could be the very specific diagnosis of PTSD, but we didn't want to limit it to that. Now, the reality was that the outcomes of most of this research, as we could ascertain for trauma reporting, was actually PTSD. So a large chunk of the studies did have PTSD as their outcome. But we also were able to include studies that looked at measures of stress and measures of anxiety. Right. The upshot of all of this was that we saw some good moderate effect of both mindfulness interventions more broadly, although they were complex interventions, and yoga on these kinds of outcomes of mental health.
Right, right. And how did you link in with the Kabat-Zinn mindfulness-based stress reduction techniques or methodology? Can you talk about that a bit?
Absolutely. It's John Kabat-Zinn is a figure that we should all be very, very grateful for, because his introduction and his groundbreaking research, particularly in the area of chronic pain, but also his elaboration of mindfulness as a body of knowledge and the translation of that into the clinical environment is really, really powerful. So MBSR, as it's known, mindfulness-based stress reduction, which comes out of John's work, is some of the earliest research that we can sort of see in terms of particularly the effects of mindfulness on chronic pain and stress. So we were able, they were some of the first studies that I was able to use and to review. And then from there, this, that, that work has actually led to other kinds of mindfulness-based interventions. Now, it's worth mentioning that MBSR and related mindfulness-based interventions, and it has been elaborated since the 90s when that work was initiated. It's worth noting that these are complex interventions. So mindfulness is not a single domain. It actually does leverage the domains of gentle but physical postures, yoga. It also looks at breath. It also looks at meditation. So very often we get into tangled conversations of picking a horse within this kind of domain. But in fact, it's in my view, the very complex nature of this that is able to have the holistic effects that, that we're seeing, the reductions in perceived stress, the reductions in certainly symptoms of PTSD and symptoms of anxiety.
Yeah. So just briefly, what would be, say, one of the major challenges you had in measuring all of this trauma and so on? Because, you know, it's not like a physical thing, you know, a physical object. How did you go about that?
You're absolutely right, Sarah. It's not only it's not only amorphous in terms of a physical object, it's also highly individualized. So the symptoms of my peak stress might be very different to your symptoms of peak stress, and particularly when you're getting that over a period of time. So people are demonstrating or presenting different kinds of symptoms. So that is one of the things. This is often called polysymptomatic or polysyndromatic in the medical space. So people are presenting with different types of causes, potentially receiving different diagnoses from their medical practitioners. But in fact, the source of this is either a traumatic experience or a particularly long-term or chronic stress in the burnout space. So measurement is very, very difficult. What's one person's stress is, may not be another's. The other is that if we even look at the trajectory of an individual's life, we can report a number of life events that are considered highly stressful. So it's not the fact that this life event has been experienced, it's how the stress adaptation has materialized for that individual. So it's for some people, there's potential for post-traumatic growth. For others, it can be symptoms like, as we know, in PTSD. So it's not that there is a one-size-fits-all. And that is specifically one of the difficult parts of this research. So we tried to broaden it, make a transdiagnostic approach. But the upshot of this is that research can change this by starting to report trauma exposure in their samples. So we had to eliminate a lot of studies that were otherwise quite, particularly around depression, that were quite appropriate for analysis in our work, but they didn't report the trauma exposure in their population or in their sample.
Right, it's amazing. Well, we're going to take a break and come back and look into the personalised yoga that you developed and also the exercise program, because I'm really interested in both. So we'll be back soon after the break. Thanks.
Get empowered. Transformation Talk Radio.
Learn to love more fearless with me, Kate. Through fun, lively, real conversations as I interview expert guests who have charted a course out of the darkness into the light. Listen live every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. To connect with me and check out my work as an intuitive healer, guide, and coach, visit lovemorefearlessintuitive.com.
I have had such a good time on Tales from the Merworld Radio. It has been an opportunity for me to expand myself so dramatically and become much braver in my voice to speak about the things that I'm passionate about that are a little bit out there. Your staff is amazing. Olivia is amazing. Jessica, everybody. Anytime I need anything, they show up right away. So thank you for having such an amazing team that is allowing me this platform to do what Spirit wants me to do.
Do you feel that you must stand alone in this life? Listen deeply, beloved soul. You are not alone. Laura Hosford offers you authentic channeled messages of love, inspiration, and heart-healing grace to guide you forward in transcending your consciousness and becoming the change you wish to see in the world. Want to get involved? Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group and get some goddess energy in your life. Women supporting women, emotional and spiritual growth. What's not to love? Just search for Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook and join Laura's growing community of women who are finding that divine love has lived within them all along. Share your stories, your challenges, offer your insights, celebrate spiritual growth. Join the Get Your Goddess Groove on Facebook group today.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Conscious Confidence Radio with Sarah Main. And my very special guest today is Dr. Jennifer Taylor. Jennifer has just completed her PhD in medicine, and it's in neuroscience, really, isn't it, Jennifer?
That's right.
I don't know all the details of the permutations of this. But Jennifer engaged in some groundbreaking research, really, into the relationship or the efficacy of mindfulness and yoga and breath work in relation to the care of stress with junior doctors. But there's a relevance to us in terms of, and more broadly, in terms of the relevance and importance and essential nature of mindfulness in particular in our everyday life and handling stress, especially in these times, which are rather uncertain. So welcome back, Jen.
Thank you, Sarah.
Great to have you here. So let's talk a bit more about your personalized yoga that you developed for burnout and traumatic stress with junior doctors. Tell us a bit about that.
Sure. We designed a trial of personalized yoga, and our comparison group was actually part of an existing wellness program for junior doctors called MDOK. It was actually a group exercise that was already being delivered as part of this wellness program. Now, the personalized yoga was a product of a lot of the learnings out of what we talked about in the last segment and my systematic review and meta-analysis and other research. So we designed an intervention that was to remove some of the barriers for junior doctors in particular, who have some pretty hectic schedules. They're also doing shift work. They're also exposed quite frequently to what the rest of us would consider to be quite traumatic events, but for them is considered part of their work day, as you can well imagine. Yeah. So we were interested in doing personalized sessions that would be able to be scheduled at their convenience, and we thought this might improve adherence, and it did. But also I was looking in particular in this domain of traumatic stress, in this domain of burnout, to personalize the intervention to what that particular person needed. So the sort of symptoms that we were talking about last session are very important. So for some people, they're going to present with highly sympathetic or stressed type symptoms, perhaps leading towards anxiety. Other people might actually present with quite numbing type symptoms, or I wouldn't necessarily go down to the dissociation point, but that is for people with extreme symptoms. But in the subclinical world, we talk about this kind of idea of numbing or shutdown. Yeah. So people who are experiencing extreme stress might get a bit numb. And in the medical world, there's another measure for burnout called depersonalization. And that was one of our main outcomes, this idea of the depersonalization, the individual junior doctor themselves may not feel like they are a person within the healthcare system, but also they start to have a depersonalized attitude towards patients over time as they get more and more stressed. And that's something clearly that we want to prevent. So the individual I developed for each person a particular blend of breath, movement, yoga postures, meditation, and we did some homework as well, so that it was to address their particular needs and their particular personality, but also the kind of stress that they were under. Some people were on night shift. More than 10 of my junior doctors experienced the death of a patient during the study. So we were dealing with very real-time traumatic exposure. So it was quite exciting and quite interesting. So they got a personalized session, one session a week for 8 weeks, plus some contact with me between sessions. And the other people attended a group exercise class once a week for 8 weeks.
Right. And when you say junior doctors, are they largely like young in their 20s? That may not necessarily be the case. It could be junior in relation to their training.
That's absolutely correct.
On average, they were young.
Yeah, our average age was sort of that late 20s, early 30s period. So the junior does relate to their medical training. So these are people who have graduated from medical school. They've come through their internship and they're on a path to sitting there both their clinical and their qualification exams in as junior doctors. So then they can become, then they move on to a specialisation.
I mean, when you describe the real world working conditions for these doctors, it is, well, it's unbelievable, you know, really all of that on top of everything else. So to actually care for them so that they can give better care to the patients, it just makes practical sense, really. It's common sense, really, but.
Well, that's absolutely right. And one of the big outtakes, certainly we had, as I mentioned to you, the statistical outcomes, things like depersonalization, which personalized yoga did make a significant impact on compared to group fitness. But we also had some of the qualitative feedback. So group fitness actually gave them a potential for social connection, which they didn't otherwise have because of their kind of quite hierarchical medical environment, but also the nature of their work. Now, the personalized yoga, also they reported that just this 1 hour a week of an individual with whom they had a relationship, asking them how they were, having an opportunity to reflect and engage in self-reflection. And as we know in the product of mindfulness, this idea of being able to tune in with body and breath to start to work back towards the mind and providing yourself a little bit of internal quiet, that was a big reported benefit. This 1 hour a week with their teacher, with their facilitator rather, was a major benefit to these junior doctors, because otherwise the rest of their week is spent on other people, as you can imagine.
Yeah, so it's a sort of all giving out and not putting back in. There are a lot of parallels, because I come from teaching and education background. There are a lot of parallels in relation to all of this.
That's absolutely right. And it is caring for carers and people who are in charge of the care and welfare of others, and particularly, as you mentioned, children, but even in the adult learning environment and adult education environment, you're caring for the welfare of others, and you're also quite invested, and that's what makes you a good teacher. That's what makes you a good facilitator, is this idea. But it can be a very one-way street, and certainly they've gotten that kind of, there's a body of literature that really documents that in the mental health space, but in the major parts of medicine, that's less something, you know, caring for the carer or healing the healer is something that is less, there's new attention being focused on it now, but historically perhaps less attention has been paid.
Yes, it's had to sort of get bad before it could snap back to something. So in relation to the sort of key elements that you found, like you were personalizing the yoga programs for and the breath work and so on for each doctor, was that, how did you do that? Is that just based on your experience of just knowing what they needed? Take us through that simply.
Oh, sure. Certainly there is an element of the expertise of the therapist, facilitator, myself in this particular instance. But also we are looking at a toolkit of mindfulness tools and techniques. And it's a case of understanding the sorts of effects that those tools and techniques might have. For example, rapid breathing might have a stimulating effect, a stressful effect for some, or an energizing effect for others. What does that person need on this particular day? So it's a case of teaching people some of these tools and then teaching them how they might use it, because we're all going to have a different need on a different particular day. And we certainly had one experience that was quite profound for a particular junior doctor who experienced the sudden and unexpected death of a patient overnight. Had a session booked with myself and honoured it at 6 a.m. the following morning.
Wow.
But wanted to, because there's a whole series of, you know, as you can imagine, formal debriefing and lots of medical things that happen following that kind of event. But this particular junior doctor wanted to come and breathe and move and prepare themselves for the debrief that was to come, and reported feeling infinitely better after they practiced. So it's really a case also of just doing the practice. And sometimes we need an extra person there to go to help us do the practice. So there's certainly an element of that as well.
Yeah. So that is significant, that it, for all the research and all the talk and all the, and for all of us doing all, in the end, it comes down to actually doing it in that moment and choosing to do that and knowing the benefit of it. So let's lead into now what would be a key for listeners now, a key takeaway, because you're in one field which is far removed from a lot of people listening, but we take the key elements, the key learnings, which apply to everybody, which is the power of mindfulness, the power of presence in our everyday life to cope, to thrive, to manage all the things that we face. What's some key practical takeaways?
Absolutely. Well, I think there are certainly some very specific medical things about a junior doctor sample in my trial, but there are a lot of things that are common for most of us. Those are job-related or occupational stress, financial stress, the stress of job insecurity, particularly during this period. So there are a lot of family stresses. There are a lot of broad-based stresses in our lives, and learning a toolkit to manage them over time is really important. One of the things that came out here was the therapeutic alliance with an individual facilitator. So develop a relationship with your teacher might be one significant takeaway. The other significant takeaway on the group fitness side was social connection. So building, and in mindfulness sometimes this is known as sangha, so building a group of like-minded people with whom you can share your practice is a really wonderful thing to do. The third thing is developing ways to make sure you practice. So breathing, mindful movement, and some kind of stillness, some kind of seated meditation that may look a little different for most, but some kind of stillness is a really nice idea. And doing that regularly and doing whatever you can to make that a habit.
Right. They're very practical things, and it's taking that on ourselves. So thank you for laying that out. And we always come back to the same road from different points. It's amazing and fantastic that your research is really drawing that out. And it's exciting that the carers are being cared for. I mean, I'm passionate about looking after teachers because I have seen over 30 years the effects of increased stress in teaching that used not to be there, but it is now. And you've seen it in this medical field. And it's beautiful that you responded so holistically. It's wonderful. So thanks very much for sharing just briefly, really, but fully all that you've learnt so far. And I'm sure there's exciting things to come in where you take this research forward and the work that you do. So thanks so much, Jen. And is there any way people can get in touch with you, or that you're on Facebook, aren't you? They could follow you on Facebook?
Absolutely. It's my absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. And you can reach me at Jen Taylor Yoga on Facebook, on Instagram, or at my website. I think they'll be in the show links. So thank you so much.
Thanks very much, Jen. And if you'd like to find out more about conscious confidence and indeed find the link to this show to listen again, go to my website, consciousconfidence.com. That's consciousconfidence.com. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Conscious Confidence with Sarah Main. join us next month on Transformation Talk Radio for more timeless wisdom with Sarah's exciting and innovative approach to living. Discover more joy, freedom, and step into your limitless potential. For more information on Sarah Maine and her work, or to listen to past shows, visit sarahmaine.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.